Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. And back at Studio A with my guest this morning, as I mentioned, from the San Juan County Fire Department. We have Fire Chief Donovan Mack here with us this morning. Good morning, Chief. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You bet. Also joining us here in the studio is Captain Kendra Cologne. Kendra, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here as well. Great to have both of you here to talk about some safety tips with the holidays coming up. And I know we're still a few weeks away, but it seems like the way the year is going, it'll be here before we know it. And so what are some of the, I guess, the most calls that you respond to during the holiday season? What would you say, Chief?
Probably I would say medical calls, and then the other would be the cooking and, you know, a lot of cooking incidents we have.
Right. If people are like me, they're probably cooking for the first time in months around the holidays, or at least doing a lot more of it, right?
Yep, exactly.
And so what does that mean? Does that mean fire, smoke alarms going off, things like that?
Yes, sir. Smoke alarms going off, not being anything other than, you know, something was overcooked. People went away from home. Try not to leave home while you're cooking. That creates an issue. If something happens, then you're not there. So sets the smoke alarm off. If you're there, then we don't have to try to figure out a way to get in your house other than, you know, we don't have a key. So
right. And but you want to get in there.
You know, we need to get in there.
And you know ways to do that.
Make sure you're okay. That's right.
Yeah. Very, very true. And Kendra, I know you talk a lot with school classes and things like that about cooking and smoke alarms and things like that. You have a message for kids that you talk to in their classes?
Yeah, so obviously we want to go over with our families like what our smoke detector sounds like. Usually we know that our smoke detectors are working when mom is done cooking dinner.
Right.
but we want to make sure that we actually do test them at least once a month, and that we check the battery or change the batteries twice a year. And we want to make sure the kiddos know what it sounds like when it goes off. And we want to make sure that we have an evacuation plan set up in place so that if it does go off, we know what to do and we know where to go and meet in a safe location that is not inside the house.
Right. All those things really, really important to remind kids about throughout the year. And of course, this past weekend was the time change. And I know that's when a lot of folks recommend maybe changing out batteries in your smoke detectors at the time change, because that gives you that twice a year schedule.
Yep. And that's what we recommend as well, is every time change, we change the batteries.
Right. Right. And when you're talking to the kids, I mean, do you ask them if they've ever heard their smoke alarm go off?
I do. I actually, when I'm talking to the kids, I bring a smoke alarm with me that has a fresh battery in it. I ran into an incident the other day where I was talking to the kids and I had my smoke alarm with me and the battery was dead because I didn't change it.
That was a good demonstration right there, wasn't it?
I showed them how to change it and what the batteries look like and where they go. And then I made it go off so they all could hear it. A good portion of them told me, yeah, we have those in our house. And yeah, I hear it go off. And then a lot of them told us that, you know, we don't have any in our houses. And the fire department has something set up that if you don't have a smoke detector in your home, you can call the fire department. Doesn't really matter where you're at in the county. I think the city of Farmington even does it. But if you don't have them, you can call us and we can come and install a smoke detector for you.
Right. Really important. And I'm surprised to hear that maybe some houses still don't have them.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And when they're available pretty much everywhere these days, mm-hmm. and if through a program even that you describe, right, that you can get them for free mm-hmm. and install them. And I imagine it wouldn't matter if you're renting or owning.
Right.
These would work. And I'm sure a landlord would want to have a smoke alarm in their rentals.
You would think.
So, but that's good advice and really important. And again, as you mentioned, for families to talk to their kids, how young do you think kids need to be to have that conversation with them? I guess it maybe depends on the kid.
You know, I talk to a lot of school-aged kids. The youngest I've talked to is preschoolers.
Okay.
When we have events that are outside of schools, obviously I try to talk to the parents who have much younger children. But I think starting to talk to kids when they're about 2 or 3 is a great age. That's when I started talking to my kids about it, and it just they start to listen a little bit better, I guess, and they start to understand what I'm telling them. When
sure.
they're about 2 or 3.
Yeah, and the importance of that message, I would think, too. So great, Chief. I wanted to ask you a little bit too about the importance of these smoke detectors. I know it's well documented that these things save lives in case of a fire in a house or even something else, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, they do. And San Juan County has done some smoke detector blitzes, areas that we have had home fires. We go into those areas and we'll try to do a blitz in an area that'll be, like a mile area around that, and go knock on doors, ask if they have smoke detectors. Offer to put the new ones in. Again, don't forget about our program where we have smoke detectors that we can. So if you don't have them in your home, call the fire department, 334-1180. Make sure that, and let us know, and we'll get somebody out to install a smoke detector for you so you have one in your home for the holidays.
There you go. Really important. And again, we've been talking about cooking, but I know there are other things, too, that can cause fires around the holiday season. I think, thankfully, I personally have not heard about as many house fires as maybe 5-10 years ago. I'm hoping that's a trend, but maybe you would have more data than I do.
It is less.
Good.
It is less now. We do better in San Juan County. I think our public education and our getting into the schools, I think that helps to make people aware of the,
the risks and the causes and all that.
The causes,
right? Yeah.
Things that cause fire. When you're doing your Christmas tree this year, make sure it's fresh. Make sure you water it regularly. If the needles start to fall off, you need to probably take it out of the house and get a new one. It's dangerous in the house when it's like that.
Right.
Christmas time, a lot of people like candles. So make sure you keep them away from, at least a foot away from everything. Put them out at night before you go to bed or when you leave the house. One of the most safest candles is to get the battery-powered candles and put them up. So that's just some ideas.
Right. Very, very true. Fireplaces, fires, things like that, cleaning out those ashes and
make
things.
Make sure you clean your stovepipe. Make sure you clean it up. Have it cleaned or you clean it. I know we would like you to put it out at night, but I understand there's people in our area that use it. That is their form of heating. Just make sure you don't overload your stove. Put too
right.
much coal or too much wood at night. Make sure maybe get up in the middle of the night and check it.
Sure, sure.
Those are things that cause stove fires, which can cause the roof to catch on fire. And that could take hours before you realize that that's on fire, and by the time you realize it, it's trouble for everybody.
Right. I think that's one of the things that I remember hearing about, or maybe creosote buildup in your flue and your chimney,
yep.
and maybe those will kind of smolder for a while before causing
yep.
a major problem, right?
Sure.
Before you actually see
sure.
what's going on or detect something.
They don't allow the heat to escape through the stovepipe as well, so it causes heat, and the heat gets built up, in the roof area. So
right. So all important things. Are there any warning signs that folks could be watching for, I guess, for things like this? I mean, obviously, if your outlet from your Christmas tree starts smoking or smelling weird, that would be a good sign to
sure.
unplug it and
yeah,
do something
it.
Else
and
with
when
it.
When you put your Christmas tree up, there's other things, you may want to put lights in the window or light. So people have a tendency to overload their power strips. You shouldn't overload them. And if you can, LED lights. If you could do LED Christmas lights, you take a much better chance of not overloading your circuits in your home.
And maybe have a cheaper electric bill, huh?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they use as much power,
yeah,
do they?
They do not.
Yeah. And so I think maybe that's been a helpful thing over the years, right, is maybe one of the reasons why we're not seeing as many overloaded power strips and fires from those types of situations,
yep,
because of this new type
so.
Of lighting.
Most, if when you go to Walmart or you go to any store, you know, to buy them, Target, Walmart, they're all LEDs. That's mainly what they have on shows. I don't know that you can really buy the traditionals. If you have them, maybe you had extra bulbs, but most everything is LEDs.
Maybe give them to a museum if you have an incandescent set lying around or something.
Sure.
Who knows? But
yes, sir.
But very true. Also, I wanted to ask you a bit about cooking, because that's another, we talked about that at the beginning, about the smoke alarms going off and things along that line. But with Thanksgiving in just a few weeks, a lot of folks maybe want to deep fry their turkey. I know you guys always do a great demonstration about the do's and don'ts that's coming up maybe next week.
Yep, next week.
Okay, all right.
Next week they'll be doing one in Bloomfield at the fire station.
Very good.
When you do that, you want to make sure your turkey's thawed all the way. You want to make sure that you have checked a pot you're going to cook it in. Make sure you put it in there, fill it up with water just enough to cover the turkey, so that way you'll know. And then try to mark that, so that's where you put your oil to. If you put too much oil, it's going to come over, creates quite the fire.
Right. It'll overflow outside of your pot. And of course, we're doing this all outside, by the way.
Right. You should be doing it outside. It should be about 10 feet away from any structure, so... Shed, garage, don't try to do it in the garage. Do it outside of the garage. Keep it 10 feet from the house.
Right. Nobody wants overflowing boiling oil.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
Yeah.
Unless you're a medieval knight.
That's right.
I guess would be the only
But
reason.
When you do go to put the turkey in the oil, after you've checked it with the water, you want to make sure it's dry. Make sure it's dry turkey. Don't have any water in it, because that even creates more of a problem with that, because it's about 380 degrees. Make sure you keep all your... Keep the children away.
Right.
So nobody gets burned.
Right. But it's, it tastes really good when it comes out. I can tell
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful. But love fried turkey.
Right. But there are certainly some things to do to keep it safe.
Yes, sir.
And for everyone. Kendra, I wanted to come back to you a little bit about if you had any tips for fried turkeys and keeping everyone safe if you want to go that route for a holiday meal.
I mean, as long as I'm not frying it, I think everybody's going to be safe.
You're good? Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Just for like the stovetop stuff,
yeah.
Make sure that your pans are turned in and your handles aren't sticking off the stove. Kiddos have a tendency to run into the kitchen and bump those, and so you're looking at all different types of burns. And obviously, we want to avoid that,
right?
If at all possible, making sure all your burners are shut off. Sometimes people forget to shut them off, like. They'll still have food on the stovetop, but they'll forget to shut the burner off, and they'll go and they'll sit down and they'll eat their dinner, and then a couple minutes later their kitchen starts smoking because their food on their stovetop is on fire.
Right.
If you have a fire in your oven, you want to make sure that you just shut your oven off and leave the door shut, and then go ahead and call 911.
And that shutting of the oven door is really important, I think, too, right? Because that kind of robs the fire of the oxygen that it needs to spread or get worse, right?
So if we're shutting it off, we're taking away its heat. And if we're keeping that door shut, we're taking away the oxygen. So that fire won't be able to survive in that type of environment. And so that's the goal, right, is to keep it from spreading.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, the other thing is always a grease fire or something like that, maybe on a stove top. And I think folks maybe... I think most everyone has learned by now not to put water on some fire of that type, but what's the best way to deal with something on the stove top, I guess?
So, again, if you can shut it off. Shut off the burner, take away that heat. If it's not too big, you can try and smother it with, your lid for your pan. If you have a fire extinguisher in your home, if it's like an ABC extinguisher, you could try and use that. But obviously, if it's too big to control, just get out of the house, get your family, get everybody to your safe spot, and then call 911.
Yeah, really important, because water just kind of spreads it, doesn't it?
Yep. Water and grease don't really go well together.
No, they
so
don't.
It makes a mess.
Yeah,
it does.
Very, very true. Right. Chief, anything to add to the cooking tips?
Not sure if Kendra said, but when they're cooking, the holidays, we're busy, very busy. Lots of things on the stove. Make sure those handles are turned in so that doesn't get knocked off and knocked off onto your small children, or they walk by and grab it.
Right.
Those are some of the EMS calls that we would have to run, and those are not ones we want to do.
Yeah, those are pretty serious burns if the worst thing happens. Yep. So good point for that as well. What else? Any weather's been pretty good so far, but I know traveling, folks try to travel over the holidays, and any tips for that, to try to get to over the river, through the woods, all that stuff?
They just need to, you know, pay attention to the weather. Make sure you got good tires on your car. Make sure you take some extra stuff in your car. Make sure there's always some extra food, blankets, maybe a flashlight, things like that when you're traveling. If you're going into an area that might be bad weather, something like that, carry a few extra things so your little survival. Make sure you have your cell phone charged up.
Right.
Or have a charger in the car that you could make sure you can keep it charged so we could call 911.
Right. Very true. Very true. Thank you for that. And I wanted to ask, too, a little bit about, we mentioned that medical calls and other smoke alarm calls and things are probably some of the largest number of responses, mm-hmm. and calls that you get at the San Juan County Fire Department. I know the county's been doing a really good job of trying to remind all of us about addressing of our properties and things like that. When you're out on a county road or something, it's really important that those house numbers are visible, I would think, so you can find where you're going
in
an emergency.
If they're not visible, again, call the 334-1180. Let us know. We can get it to rural addressing. We can make sure we get your address sign updated so it's not faded. If it's faded, please let us know. We don't know them all.
Right. We try
to identify them as we're going to other emergencies and coming home from other emergencies, but there's still so many in San Juan County, and rural addressing is really good about getting out and trying to fix them as soon as we report it to them.
Very good. And that's really important, again, especially in an emergency, right? Sure. You don't want to be driving up and down the road looking for the place you're supposed to be responding to.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And we have that issue from time to time where, you know, we have to kind of look around. Well, look around is just time that we need to be there.
Sure, right. And if you're waiting for emergency responders, you want them there as fast as they can get there.
Yep.
If there's an emergency. So that's really important. Very good. And just a couple of minutes remaining this morning, both of you, to talk about other tips, anything else that comes up year to year? Kendra?
We run into a lot of issues with space heaters.
Oh, yeah.
Space heaters, they should, when they're knocked over, they should shut off. So if your space heater doesn't do that, I would recommend getting one that does.
That should be a safety feature,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then a lot of the older ones, they don't have that feature. It's probably time to upgrade. And they also have settings where you turn them on and they'll reach a certain temperature and then they'll shut off. That's also a safety feature that not a lot of the older ones have. And so during the winter time, when people are using their space heaters and they have them plugged into multiple adapters, they should plug them in directly to the wall instead of to an adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And then just make sure that we don't have anything stored next to them. So blankets, clothing, toys, stuff like that, that can easily catch on fire. So we want to keep that space clear around those space heaters.
Yeah, really good point.
If we're not using them, we need to unplug them.
Right. Very true. And really, they're not designed to be the sole source of heat in a home, right?
Correct.
I mean, they're used to maybe add heat or warm up one smaller room, but not a whole house. They're really not designed for that.
Right.
So that's really important. So great. Chief, anything else to add?
Some people try to replace electric heaters with propane heaters. They'll keep a propane tank in the house. That's not a good idea at all.
Right.
Should never have those in the home. Shouldn't run a propane heater. It takes a chance of causing some real medical issues because the oxygen and the propane, you don't get enough good oxygen for yourself. So.
Right. They're really designed to be outside, aren't they?
They're designed to be outside. So the propane tanks need to stay outside.
Right.
Don't heat your home. We've even seen them. They've had a propane stove, and they have a propane tank right next to their stove, a little small one to run the stove, and that's just, it's not good.
Right. That makes sense. That's why we see most all tanks outside, right? Those big propane tanks out in the county and elsewhere. So good advice. Well, I really appreciate you both coming in this morning to talk a little bit about some of these safety tips, and hopefully you won't have a lot of calls this holiday season, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Any predictions? No. No, I don't blame you.
No predictions.
But you're there that's right. We need you.
We're ready.
And that's important.
We're ready.
Very good. Thank you both very, very much. I also wanted to bring in a silent guest who's been waiting patiently all the whole show, Devin Neely with San Juan County, of course, the public relations manager with San Juan County. And Devin, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here as well.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for having us. We're always glad to be here, and we appreciate
the service that you provide by giving us a platform to talk about these important things.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You have an event coming up today that I wanted to ask you about briefly before we do run out of time. We've talked about it in the past here as part of San Juan County's entry into the film and television industry here in the state of New Mexico. The county's been working for a while now on a backlot here to try to attract film and TV projects, and there's news about that.
Yeah, we received funding from the state legislature to really build the film industry in this area. And the first part of that was the Totaw Theater and the revitalization of the Totaw. The second part of that was building a backlot. And what that is a standing set. Right now, it's in the middle of nowhere that can serve for another location. If a film production is looking for a specific location and they don't want to go overseas to find it, we hope that they'll come and hang out up there. So this location, we're going to have a ribbon cutting for later this afternoon.
Okay.
And it's a very exciting step forward. What that means is productions here in San Juan County are going to be eligible for up to a 40% tax rebate.
Nice.
For their time working on qualified expenditures. So we hope that that is... All this together really makes San Juan County attractive to the film and TV industry.
Very true. And that's more than they would get if they filmed in the Rio Grande Corridor, I believe, right? That was part of the incentive, was to get them out into the other parts of the state, perhaps. And that's why those incentives are higher.
That's correct. The base incentive is 25% for being outside the Rio Grande Corridor. There's an additional 10%. And then the use of a qualified facility like the backlot is an additional 5%.
Got you. And, of course, in addition to your public relations duties with the county, you're also working with the film industry. That's another title that you have. The exact title I'm forgetting. But
well, I'm a certified film liaison.
That's
in San Juan County, along with Tanya Stenson over at the Farmington Convention and Visitors Bureau. She's been a film liaison for a long time. And what we do is we make the connections between a production company that's looking to work here and local people who may have locations or services that production may need.
Got you. And now you have a backlot.
And now we have a backlot.
Add to the pot of incentives, I guess, right? And,
yeah.
And this backlot, just real briefly, has been kind of designed to resemble maybe a Middle Eastern set or village or things like that, or Native American or Pueblo type of setting. Is that kind of the
idea?
Yeah,
that's exactly it. It's we're terming this a primitive village.
Okay.
You know, think low, flat roof, vegan, Latia style construction that you might see in a primitive Native American village, in a primitive Mexican village, Spanish village. We also think that it could play for Iraqi or Iranian, Middle Eastern style villages. And the thought here is that after the Vietnam War, we saw so many movies about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And for the amount of time that there's been a conflict in the Middle East, we would anticipate there could be numerous films being made. I can think of a few off the top of my head already that we've seen from conflicts in that area. But we hope that the combination of the general look of San Juan County and this backlot will really draw people here.
Right. Interesting. And I guess the idea, too, is there's not a lot of these already in place around the world, maybe, these types of backlots. And there's a lot of Western towns and things like that, or late 1800 towns that we can think of, but maybe not any of this particular design.
Yeah, most backlots, truthfully, are Old West style. You know, think Blazing Saddles. Or name your favorite Western, Tombstone, things like that. There are no backlots that are anything but Western villages in the state. So it's interesting to have something different, and I'm very excited to see how this plays out.
Very good. Well, congratulations. I know it's been a long time coming.
Thank you.
To get the ribbon cut out there at the new San Juan County backlot to attract new film and television projects. So that's a great update today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you
all for coming in. Happy holidays to all of you. And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you
for the work that you all do. My guest this morning from San Juan County here with me on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.